Puppy poops, doggy doo-dee, bombs, stinkers. Whatever you call them, you know you don't want to scoop it. Keep your yard clear of the mess when you call Duty Calls. We understand that things can pile up, and when it does, Duty Calls will be there to lighten the load. Our clean team scours your yard to remove any visible evidence of your dog's business and whisks it off to be responsibly disposed. And we do it for as little as $12 a month. Get back to enjoying your yard without fearing a squishy surprise underfoot. Because whether you call it a deuce or a doggy diamond, it's still kind of gross. Visit DODYcalls.com and we'll scoop the poop. Schedule your first cleanup now at DODYcalls.com.
When it comes time to clean that do, we'll do the dirty work so you don't have to. DODYcalls. DODYcalls. For when things start piling up, Duty Calls.
That's DODYcalls.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this March 13th, Sunday, 2022. And I'm Pastor Ernie Sanders, and this indeed is the voice of the Christian resistance. And if my voice holds out, we're going to have a good Bible study tonight. And so I'm going to go for it. And let's start tonight in Isaiah chapter 54. And in Isaiah chapter 54, starting with verse 5. Now, here we find in Isaiah that God is telling Israel that he would forsake her for a brief time. In his anger, he was going to forsake her for a brief time. But if she would repent and return to him, he would restore her with blessings of prosperity and peace. As he kept his promise to Noah, he said he would keep his promise to Israel. Now, the promise is, and this promise that we're going to be reading here through this is for the during the millennial kingdom, when God will personally teach the children. Now, if they had been obedient, and had not blatantly sinned against him, the millennial kingdom would have been ushered in, and they could have been. Folks, they've cut a good right end to the golden age, the millennial kingdom. But he made a covenant with David and Israel. But Israel did not fulfill his part of the covenant. And it went back to worshiping idols. So let's start here in verse 5. For thy maker is thine husband. Now here, you know, we see throughout Scripture where God refers to himself as the husband of Israel. Israel is the wife of God. And we see that it compared to Israel being the wife of God, where the church is the bride of Christ. And the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. the God of the whole earth shall be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken, and grieved in spirit, and a wife of thy youth, when thou refused, saith thy God. And again, here, when he said that thou wast refused, I've got to move my chair over here. When they say thou wast refused, again, what had happened, again, Israel did not keep his covenant. Again, she blatantly went and started her idolatry again. And so he goes on to say, for a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Now again, I want to emphasize, because you say, well, you know, I don't know, I don't understand. It seems like God was always forgiving Israel. Israel was always repenting. God was always chastising them very, very severely at times for their sin. And then it would start all over again, all over again. Well, he's referring to this time when he says, for as the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that have mercy on me. Again, that applies specifically to the millennial kingdom. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and I will lay the foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of thy gates and the gates of the carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of the children. Again, this is during the millennial kingdom, and when God does something, he does it good, okay? And he's talking about when he says, I will lay the stones with fair colors and thy foundations with sapphires. He's talking about a temple that he's going to build there, or if you will. It's going to be quite, it's not going to be the same as what we think of as the temple, okay? It'll be the big place to worship here. And he says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, right? And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Boy, you're not going to have any critical race theory during that millennial kingdom. Oh, it'll be nice. There will be no more public fool system. No more public fool system. No more NEA. All of this, that insanity, all of that corrupt, lewd, immoral garbage will be gone. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come close or near to thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. But I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument of his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall condemn. This is the heritage of thy servants of the Lord, and of their righteousness of me, saith the Lord. Now we're going to pick it up here in verse 55, or chapter 55. And so, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." In other words, all of that will be provided, okay, to his people during the millennial kingdom. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Now, here again, he had made a covenant with David, but Israel did not fulfill his part of it. In fact, let's go over, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 7. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time, and as since the time that I commanded judges to be over thy people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house." Well, here now, what he's saying, David's request was from God, was good. But God said no, okay? Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that God rejected David. In fact, God was planning to do something much, much, much greater in David's life than allowing him the prestige of building the temple. Although God turned down David's request, he promised to continue the house or the dynasty of David forever. Now, David's earthly dynasty ended 4 centuries later, but Jesus Christ is the only direct descendant of David with the ultimate fulfillment of the promise. So here, of course, that promise we find over, if we go to Acts chapter 2 and read verses 22 through 36, Christ will reign for eternity, and now in his spiritual kingdom and in heaven and later on earth in New Jerusalem. So here, again, God had turned down David's request to build him a house to dwell in. Remember what God said, that you want to build me a house contain me? What house could contain me? Okay. My dwelling place is the entire universe, okay? And so he, again, like I said he had something much, much, much better for David. Now I want to go back to where we left off in Isaiah 54. No, we're back in Isaiah 55, yes. "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not." Thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. "And nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of thy Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee." Well, you know, there's other scriptures you see. God will have applications. He will do something on a small scale. He'll do it again on a little larger scale. And then maybe on the larger scale. Now here, we see, for an example here, "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not." Of course, obviously, when this was written, America was not even in existence, but America had become, to Israel, God had used that as a defender, as an ally of Israel, since you know, since going all the way back to the 19th century early. And so here, but of course this application that he's referring to is really referring to during the millennial kingdom, but it has a minor application even for today. Now, he goes on and he says, "Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Isaiah tells us to call upon the Lord while he is near. God is not planning to move away from us, but we often move away from him or erect a barrier between ourselves and him. Don't wait until you have drifted away from God to seek him, folks. And he's making another point there. And that other point is that, again, seek the Lord while he may be found. We have the here and now. That's all that we have. And I'm going to have to get over here where I set aside something to wet my whistle. So hold on for just a minute till I grab. There you go. So here, again, the point is that God has given us the here and now. He hasn't promised us a tomorrow. He hasn't promised us 5 minutes from now. In fact, what he tells us is be ready. Be ready all the time to leave this world, to be ready for him, okay? Because we don't know, only God knows, and it's not our call. The time of our departure, God knows already when that's going to be, how it's going to be, but we don't. But his instruction to us is to be ready, to be ready. And so when he says here, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon him." So what is he telling you? What is it that we tell you every program, every night of every program? The last thing we tell you is to repent and call upon the name of the Lord. This is the message that over and over and over and over, you know, and we don't know. With all of the people out there listening to us, I sure wish I did know or had, because, you know, sometimes years later I'll get a letter or a phone call from someone who'll say, you know, 5 years ago or whatever, I said that sinner's prayer with you on the radio. Well, sure, it'd be nice to know that, you know. It really would be nice to know that somebody out there did that we made a difference to somebody, because we know it happens. But sometimes we don't find out about it for years, and other times we don't find out about it at all. And so here, he goes on to say, "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and I will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, he goes on and he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Now, it's really an interesting thing. The people of Israel were foolish to act as though they knew, you know. They decided that they knew what God was thinking, folks. Now, see, do you understand how that works? Because the people of today, well, they obviously they don't really have any other means, but somehow people have this way of thinking, well, this is what I will do. This is how I would act. This is what I would think. This is what I would want. Therefore, this is what God must want. No, here, folks, because here, somehow, they had the idea that they could conform God's plans in such a manner that would fit with their own plans. In other words, well, this is what I'm going to do because this is probably what God would have done, okay? And so we see again that happening today in America. And we're seeing things And why do these things come about? For example, the invention, if you will, of denominations. Well, I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Lutheran. Look, do you know what? I had somebody call me one time and on the radio and asked me, are there any Catholics in heaven? And I said, nope, not one. Not one Methodist, not one Presbyterian, not one Lutheran. And I said, we do know of one Baptist for sure, and that was John. And he actually pastored the first church. He had the first congregation. But what I meant by that is God does not recognize denominations. See, God does not do that. And you say, yeah, but we do. I mean, but you see, it doesn't matter what you do. You see, it's what God says. It's what God's word says. Now, what God recognizes is believers and unbelievers. God recognizes two types of people, those that are saved and those that are lost. Now, believers, Christians, or the saints they're referred to, are people that have been born again and given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You see? And they're called Christians, or they're called believers. They're not called Baptist, or they're not called Lutheran, or they're not called Presbyterian. They're called believers. See, now that's what God says. That's what God says. Now you see, well, that's not what our denomination says, or that is not what our ministerial group says. Don't matter what your ministerial group says. Doesn't matter what your denomination says. Doesn't matter what your church board of directors, when churches don't have boards of directors, it says. It's what God has said that matters. It's what God has said that matters. Okay, and so here, we see this thing like today with women pastors. The Bible makes it very clear that women are not to be pastors of churches. It doesn't stutter. Well, you know, I don't want to look at it that way. I don't want to interpret that way. It doesn't matter what you interpret. God's Word, the Bible, interprets itself. Line upon line, precinct upon precinct, okay? And God's Word, the Bible, very clear, doesn't stutter. It says women are not to be ordained ministers, right? When it talks about today, well, we're a 501c3 church. No, you're not. You can be a 501c3 corporation or you can be a church, but you can't be both. You can't be both. You see, because what happens is when you become a 501c3 corporation, then you agree in a covenant with the state that you're a corporation, which is a non-living creation of the state, not the living Bride of Christ. See, a corpus means non-living. So when you sign and you become the 501c3, you agree in covenant that you are a non-living a creation of the state, not a living Bride of Christ. And so when you agree to that, you agree that the state is the head of the corporation, instead of Christ being ahead of the body, which is the church. It's right in the contract. See? And so here now, when we take a look at, well, for example, the prosperity church. Well, they're teaching that God wants you to have all of these material things. He wants you to have jet planes. He wants you to have yachts. He wants you to have these mansions. No, the Bible actually teaches this. The Bible actually teaches to place up your treasures in heaven. Place up your treasures. Now, those treasures that you place up on heaven are works done here on earth in the name of the Lord. Okay? And that's what those treasures are. They're not yachts. They're not jet planes. But see, the Prosperity Church is teaching something totally different than what God's Word, the Bible, teaches. But now, people say, well, you know, but, you know, that's what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear. Well, that may be what you want to hear, but that's not what the Word of God teaches, see. And so, here, God makes it very, very, very clear that He is definitely not happy with those who take and twist and pervert His Word. Let me go back and pick up where we left off. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God's thoughts are real way higher than our thoughts, okay, folks? And so here, He gives you an example here when He says, for as the rain cometh down, and as the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So He's giving you a little example, okay, about God and God's ways and who He is, you see. He says it rains. It rains, and boy, sometimes does it rain where I live. Where I live, folks, I have the river that runs through my yard. I mean, it runs through it for, I think about 1,200 feet of it. But anyhow, when we get a really heavy rain, I mean a real heavy, and we've had that where it's rained like an inch or two an hour for 2 or 3 hours, that river at times will raise up as much as 8 to 10 feet from where it normally at. I mean, in a very short period of time, it just raised up. And the reason for that is you've got all of these many, 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 many tributaries out here that all run into the river and starting out of Bass Lake. And by the time it gets to my place, that river raises up, and it can raise up pretty fast. But now here, so that river keeps running, and it runs, in this case, our river runs into Lake Erie, okay? And Lake Erie runs into the ocean. And so the rains and the water keeps running, and the water keeps running into the lakes, and water keeps running into the ocean, and it keeps running in every day. If you look out there, you see those rivers continuously running into the lakes, and you see the lakes continuously running into the ocean. But guess what? The ocean never gets full. The lakes never get full. Why is it? Well, the ultimate extreme potentate genius, the ultimate intelligence, an intelligence is so extreme that it has the entire universe in perfect balance. Okay, now, this is an intelligence that is far, 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 far beyond any type of ways that we could comprehend that. That's an intelligence that, again, is so far above and beyond our puny ability to even begin to comprehend how it could be done. But what happens here? Well, God gave us this book here we call the Bible, and it is the most authoritative document that ever was written. The most authoritative document. Now, here's the mystery. There's a very small percentage of us people out there, you listening to me, actually understand that. The vast majority of people walking around today in America are in la-la land. They are totally clueless. They're totally clueless. Okay? And many of these people that I'm talking about, these are the ones that are so gullible. They're so gullible. They were the first ones to fall for the masquerade and the first ones to fall for the kill shots. And so here he goes on. He says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." So God is telling you, so what do we have? We have his word right here is what he's talking about. We've got that here. And there are people out there to be saved. Every single person that God has declared to be saved will be saved. Every single person will be saved. Everything that God has written in his book, over 1,800 prophecies, the vast majority of which have already been fulfilled, either have been fulfilled, are being fulfilled, or will be fulfilled, exactly when, exactly where, exactly how, without exception, without exception. Now, again, this is something that there are just, again, a minority of us understand this and know that. Again, the vast majority of people out there are clueless. They're totally clueless. Now, here, he goes on to say, "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." And of course he's talking about during that millennial kingdom. Now, here, I know, I'm hearing from a lot of folks, "Pastor, are you all right? Look, I'm all right. I'm like just about everybody that I know that had the Fauci flu. It takes a long time before you're totally over it, okay?" I just was talking to a friend that he said he came down on Christmas Eve, and he's still not all the way back. I talked to a number of people. In fact, I just talked to Coach Dwayne today, and the very same thing with him. Since I've had this, now I do a lot of speaking. Obviously, you folks out there listening to me, listen to me every night on the radio, okay? Well, sometimes I'm not doing radio just at night. Sometimes I'm co-hosting for other people during the day, or I'm speaking like last night, you know. I spoke at the Lincoln Liberty Conservative for the candidates. It was a really big, a wonderful thing over there. About 250 people showed up, and all the candidates running for governor, running for senators, running for Congress, all showed up. But I've been doing a lot of speaking, and that is part of why. And the other part is that it takes you a while to get all the way back from this Fauci flu. And so here, but I'm doing fine, folks. I'm making my way back. So I know I've had one of the people in the church the other day got into a panic because they had talked to a doctor that was listening to the radio program. And he was just listening to me on the air, and his opinion, I was much, much sicker than I knew. And, again, excuse me, that I was on the very verge of death itself. Well, this panicked this fellow when he heard that, and I tried to explain, I'm doing fine. I got so much help. God bless. I think so many of the people out there So many of you out there sent me all kinds of remedies, but I'm right on course. I'm doing okay. Like I said, it takes a while, and everybody I've known that had this has taken a while for them to get over it. Okay. But I just wanted to say that because I know that my voice is, you know, I got to say this too, by God's grace last night. But just before I spoke, I really didn't have a voice, and I had to get up and speak in front of all these people. And on the table was a Tootsie Roll, one of them little Tootsie. And I took that little Tootsie Roll, and I was sucking on that, and give me my voice back. It wet the back of my throat enough to give me my voice back, okay? And so I just praise the good Lord for that, okay? But anyhow, let me go back to where I left off. He said, I want to pick it up here in verse 56. Thus saith the Lord, keep your judgments and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on, and keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined thyself unto the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, and they shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the strangers that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and taking hold of my covenant. Even then will I bring to my holy mountains and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. After mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord God shall gather the outcasts of Israel, saith he. Yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. And all ye the beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all you beasts of the forest. Now he finishes here in this by saying this, that his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. And they're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, laying down, and loving to slumber. Folks, I got to tell you, you know, there's been no place where our Lord has been so dishonored as from the pulpits. And you say, judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And that's what God's Word, the Bible, teaches that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And it's what God's word, the Bible, says. It's not what we think it should mean or how we would try to apply that. You see, this is exactly what I'm telling you here today. Where here people, they try to take the word of God and spin it and twist it to get it to mean what they want it to mean instead of what it clearly and plainly says. And so here, again, the Bible teaches that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And in that house, which is the church, it begins in the pulpit, in the pulpit. And today we have pastors. Now, you notice something here. You notice that all the messages we preach here, we preach from directly from Scripture, but we also will tell you, and we try to apply the practical application, how it applies for today, okay? How God's Word, the Bible, affects current events. Now, a lot of preachers, they'll preach just like out of the word here, but they won't make the application and apply it to the way we live today and what's happening in our environment. So, here, back in Isaiah's day, 2,800 years ago, if we know what the Bible said, we taught, then that's good, yeah. But if we can't understand and we can't see and we can't relate to how it applies to us today and how we should live today, then what good is it? But you see, it's safer for them, or they feel that it's safer if they just read it and teach that and stay away from politics, what they call politics. Well, the Word of God says we're to be salt and light. We're to be salt and light. And we are to preach out against sin. And so here now, he goes on to say, his watchmen are blind, they're all ignorant, they're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they're greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they're shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own, from his own quarter. In other words, we'll be a prosperity preach. We'll preach prosperity. We'll preach this, or we'll preach. In other words, we just won't take a risk. We'll stay in that comfort zone instead of going out, instead of being bold and preaching how it has a practical application for current events. We'll stay safe. That way we don't have to worry about the government taking away our precious 501c3. We want to stay under the radar. It's too late for that. We're losing our country. We're in a war, and we've been losing our freedoms. And the prissy preachers have been hiding in the pulpits. And let me tell you something, believe me, you'll regret that. You'll regret it that when the time came, when it counted, you didn't have the courage to do what was needed. Now, I'm going to do a little commentary, and that is that Ukrainian President Zelensky recently said that Joe Biden underestimate the Ukrainian people's love of freedom and their willingness to fight for it. Well, Joe Obama, he also has underestimated the love of that freedom that we, the people here in the United States of America, have. Yeah, we love that freedom, Joe Obama, and we're willing to fight for that freedom, Joe Obama. So no more, Joe Obama. We're not going to accept any more restrictions, Joe Obama. We're not going to accept any more bio-kill shots. No more vaxports, Joe Biden, Joe Obama. No masking of innocent little children. And, we did not conform to your New World Order, Joe Obama. We did not conform to your New World Order. In the Ukraine, the enemy is the Russian military with tanks and with guns and planes, and many innocents are being killed by bombs and shelling, etc. But you know, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The Ukraine had become a very corrupt country, a very, very corrupt country. And here, it was a money laundering. It was world known for corrupt criminal cartels like the Biden crime cartel and the Pelosi crime cartel. For these people to launder money, it was for those kind of people. They have probably the highest abortion rate in the world. Within that government, you had a high percentage of Nazis. Yeah, you say, well, wait a minute, we're not hearing that on NBC, ABC, CBS. No, and you won't either. Because, you see, there, It's you cannot. Well, yeah, you can totally rely on them not to tell the truth. Not to tell the truth. And so here, in America, the enemy is murdering the innocent by abortion, by bio-kill shots, by killing off the elderly in nursing homes. The deathocratic communist collective is working hand-in-hand with the drug cartels to kill over... Did you know that over 100,000 people, 100,000 young people die every year from just fentanyl? That's just fentanyl alone. That's just fentanyl alone, okay? Combine that with the other drugs, cocaine, speed, and crack, and some of this stuff. And then combine that with prescription drugs. 250,000 die a year from prescription drugs. 250,000 each year die from prescription drugs alone. And combine that with the many that die. Alcohol is a drug, folks. Alcohol, you have over 500,000 people a year dying here in America. See, that's 500,000 people every year. So in 10 years, that's 5 million people that have died from all these things. Yeah, but that doesn't even make the news. Nope. And so here, I was amazed, absolutely amazed at how easily, how very, very easily people were deceived. The masquerades, if you will, or the muskrats or maskrats, whatever, they fell so quickly, they fell so easily for that mask. And remember what we told you in March of 2020. Remember we told you in March of 2020. I had a box. And on the box, those masks that they were handing out, it tells you on this box will not stop any virus. And then they list a number of the viruses like that. It tells you on the box, right on the box. And so they're handing those out to stop a virus. Somebody says, well, you should be wearing a mask. I don't need one. I got a T-shirt. What do you mean by that? My T-shirt that I'm wearing will do just as much to stop a virus as that mask that you're putting on your face. That mask that you're putting on your face can cause you to have many other problems, okay? And so, here, I was amazed how quickly and easily so many people were willing to sacrifice their children to Big Pharma and enroll them into the cultural Marxist indoctrination centers that they call public school systems. So many kids now today are sick, so sick because of the kill shots. They're sick, so many today. And now, in the public school centers, which really are nothing but communist indoctrination centers. And what they're doing right here in Ohio and across the country, they're not calling it critical race theory. They're not calling it that. They're giving it different names. Folks, you can trust the communist to be communist. But they're teaching the critical race theory that teaches children that they should apologize for being born white. If you're white, you should apologize, and you should be angry or even hate your parents for the fact that you're white. I'm not kidding you. Now, they're in that public fool system where they have the young people so confused, where the boys learn that, well, they may not be boys at all, even though their gender and they have all of the male attributes, but they may be a girl trapped in a boy's body. Now, this is the insanity that these people lay upon innocent little children in that public fool system out there today. And what are they teaching the girls? Well, they're teaching the girls that they really should want to be boys. That they shouldn't want to be girls at all. They should want to be boys. And so here, what are they doing? They've invented these things they call transgenders, which exists in the minds of fools. God made two genders, folks. He made two genders. And what they're telling you about transferring from one to the other, when God's word, the Bible, calls that abominable. It's, in other words, it's a sin. And it's done and recognized with people that have reprobate minds. In the public fool system today, the children are encouraged to become sodomites, and later as they grow up, to become pedophiles as they become adults. I want you to turn over to James chapter 4. And in James chapter 4, we read this. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So here, again, it doesn't stutter. It doesn't stutter a bit. If you're a part of the New World Order, if you're a part of this Antichrist world system, okay, if you're a friend of that, you say, well, you know, everybody's doing that. I mean, everybody, look at the Smiths over here and the Jones, they're a part of that. They're putting their kids in a public school. Look at them. They went and they got the bio shot, okay? You know, look at all, they're running around out here. They're wearing the masks. Look at these. You know, it's a popular thing today to open up your marriage, to open up your marriage. In other words, you know, you can, a lot of people are doing that. You know, where you can go out and sleep with other men, can go out and sleep with other women and other, you know, open, it's what they call open marriage nowadays. And a lot of people are doing that. Therefore, since we're all doing that, you know, God's got to get with it. God's got to conform. Now, listen, that's the mindset. And you had that fool, an absolute fool, who was with Klaus Schwab when they made that statement that man is nothing but another animal, that there is no God above the clouds, that now those in power and government, they're the gods, and they will decide what happens to the human race, because the human race is simply another form of animal. This is what they believe. And the Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's what these fools are saying. And here again, the scripture says for us not to be friends with the world, to have no part of all that. To have no part of all that at all. And so, I want to go again, to be a part of the compromise, and maybe tomorrow we're seeing that. I know for years, being with the Right to Life, time and time again, I would always say, why? Look, abortion is wrong, period, wrong, period, wrong, period. With no exceptions. And I would be told, look, you know, we have to take the bill the way it is. If it's with the life of the mother exception, we have to take that. Or if it's with a rape, we have to accept. No, you don't. Abortion is wrong, period. It's murder, period. You don't have to accept that. Now, today, finally, our position, Ohio Pro-Life Action League, and that position is one of many around the country, is that if you're a candidate and you want our endorsement, you've got to answer yes to every question, and that means no exceptions, none, zip, zero. I want to finish by jumping over really quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or 2 Corinthians 6. And here I read this. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Now listen, come out from among them, be separate, be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. So let me say this. We are separatists. We are separatists. Now what happens is when you proclaim to be a separatist, as God's word, the Bible says we are to be, automatically the world out there will accuse us of you're a white separatist, and they'll automatically associate separatists with supremacists, and a separatist and a supremacist is not the same. Now we are separatists in the fact that we hold to God's word, the Bible, and we are not unequally yoked with apostate religions or apostate churches, or we hold to strictly the word of God. And we don't have any fellowship with the apostates. Now, here, and I want to finish this off because I know we're coming up to the end. And he says this, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in fear. So, there you go. And so now I know I'm coming up to the end of the program, and I'm just about out of my voice, but hopefully I'll get it back for tomorrow. But it's time, like what we said tonight, when we were talking in Isaiah, and he was making a point, and the point was, call upon the Lord while you can. Call upon the Lord while he is near, folks. And so the point he's telling you, for out there, many of you tonight, if you have not received Christ your Savior, it doesn't matter what you believe. Here's what God said. God said there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what God says. You see, and what God says always happens. What God says always happens. God has a 100% perfect record of doing exactly what he says, when he says, how he says. It always works. If you have not called upon the name of the Lord Jesus, if you have not been born again, you're walking on a tightrope over a burning lake of fire. You may not understand that. So you need to do that tonight, because you may not have a tomorrow. You may not have a tomorrow. Are we down to one, did you say?
We're down to like 40.
Okay, so anyhow, with that, listen to me. Listen to the Word of God, because remember what we just read in the Word of God. He says it doesn't return void, and it will accomplish exactly what he wants it to accomplish. And he's given you warning. So don't turn away. Call upon the name of the Lord tonight. Pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness, ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Till tomorrow, I want to say good night. God bless. Always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.